We are joined now by NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Kern, who's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Mr. Kern, how are we doing?
Christian, Andrew, how are you?
We're doing great. Nice to talk with you here, Tommy, as we are live at Scores down by the Garden, and we're missing you, obviously, but wanted to talk about what we just heard there from Alex Van Pelt. On board, he's saying now, with the Drake May decision. Was he the last holdout? Were there holdouts in this decision-making process?
I don't think there were holdouts. I'm sure that there are individuals who are not, as... They didn't feel it was as dire as Gerard probably did. But again, when I tried to ask Gerard on Wednesday, so how did you approach Alex Van Pelt with this? He made it sound like, incrementally over the period of time, each week they would have conversations about the progress of May and the progress of the office. And I think that's, I tried to get Mayo to explain, so was it a matter of time and this was a last straw type of thing? And he didn't necessarily say that. But I think that Van Pelt is in an interesting situation. I'll say this, from what I understand and what you heard indicated today, he is very high on Drake May. He's very excited about coaching Drake May. His development has been outstanding since April. But I think that Van Pelt has the same trepidation that everyone does. We had a plan. We've had to go to plan B because we were so horrendous. I hope it's not a disaster. But we'll go ahead and see how it goes.
What do you think the expectation is internally for Drake May in terms of, okay, that's a decent first game on Sunday?
How many plays look like utter disaster, and do they look like utter disaster? Do they look like utter disaster because he peed down his leg, or because of something he didn't observe that he would be able to, on film, realize, recognize, and not have repeat? Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a success. If he goes 9 for 19 for 87 yards and 3 picks, and everything that he does wrong is readily apparent, and it's not, he did this on this one, he did that on that one, he couldn't get the ball away from center, he misidentified blockers, he was asleep at that would be a big issue. If they're reads that he can fix, and he can say, yep, that was a horrible thing to do, I think we'll be okay. Like, remember, as I'm sure you do, Andy and Christian, Tom Brady's second start was against the Dolphins in Miami, and I think he threw for 86 yards, and they buried the ball.
Hopefully they're not burying the ball on Monday, I would say. When you talk about the locker room reaction, which I think was noticeably different than what you were hearing from coaches and other people who made this announcement, the locker room reaction even leading into this, guys like Hunter Henry, people were really pumping the tires of Drake May. Is that something that was a locker room-wide decision that everyone sort of agreed on? Were there splits in the locker room? I mean, I know Jacoby Brissett has a lot of respect in there, but is this, in general, a popular move in that room?
Yeah, in general, it's a popular move. I think that had they gone out this week, Christian, and played poorly offensively and lost the game to Houston, then you'd be saying, well, we've just done that for the last 4 weeks, and we kind of knew that was going to happen again. We're not getting it done, given all the factors around Jacoby, with Jacoby in the pilot seat. So there would be, I imagine, well, we saw the same movie we expected to see. With Drake, even if it isn't tremendous, I think the players, the coaches, ownership, executives, they all see the same football teams and games that we do. And that's something I've come to learn over the years. They have the exact same emotions and perspectives that we do on the outside as either media members or fans. And they'll want to see it. Maybe Drake does better. We're curious. We're excited about it. So that is something that I thought there might be a little bit greater holdout or reservation of enthusiasm because of all Jacoby had done. But there hasn't been. I haven't noticed that at all, really.
Tom, do you think Alex Van Pelt will make some significant changes to the offense? Will there be things that we see and they're like, oh, yeah, he wouldn't have done that last week with Jacoby? And what might some of those be?
He's going to make him look a lot more like the things that he was comfortable with at North Carolina. So I would imagine we're going to see more shotgun. We might see some more rollout. we're going to see some opportunities, I think, for him to get out and make plays outside the pocket. He throws very well, as you guys saw, whether it be looking at his North Carolina highlights or when you were down at camp. He throws very well on the run. He almost, and I said this last year in the process leading up to the draft before we even got down to the point where they were going to be doing it, I was like, he looks like he seeks chances to find, to throw where he's on the move. He doesn't have to move, and he finds a reason to move and then likes to throw on the run. So, you know, will they find opportunities to move him around and get him opportunities to throw on the run? I think they'll do all that. And Albert Breer, who said, you know, he's been talking to a lot of people around the league, has reported that they've already got things in from North Carolina that they will be starting to implement.
Looks like Ramondre Stevenson's missing practice again today. He wasn't spotted out there at the media portion. He missed yesterday. If he's not ready to go, is that gonna? How much is that going to affect the game plan? Are they going to have May throwing a lot more maybe than they want to?
I think they'll probably elevate Kevin Harris and put him up. He's on the practice squad still. So I don't – not to say they won't miss a beat, but Gibson's played well. See, the thing about Stevenson, now that you're mentioning it, and, you know, that is a good likelihood. But the thing about Stevenson is, okay, how's your blitz pickup? How is the security in the pocket if you have to keep somebody in? Who is adept at getting out into routes and catching the ball? Can Jamichael Hasty be a player? I'm saying that name, and I wish I had been saying it more. He's a third down back. He's a little fella. He can make some yards. Maybe they start to employ him a little bit as well. But between Gibson, Kevin Harris, Hasty, you should be able to divvy up enough reps in an NFL game between the running backs.
There was a comment that Elliot Wolf told Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald before the season started about, like, the worst thing in the world is if you put a guy out there and he's not ready, and then you got to take him out. Have we reached the point that this is Drake May's team for the rest of the year unless something really crazy happens? Like, are they going to make every effort that he finishes the season if healthy?
Yes, they are. And I asked that specific question to Mayo yesterday, using that quote. So this is his team. This is Drake May's show come hell or high water. Does that mean if he goes 0 for 18 and he can't get out of his own way, that you don't have to take him off the field? I would imagine that would be an outlier expectation, but he wouldn't be going on the field if they thought he was even capable of that. That's the aspect of this, I guess, that none of us really know because we're not watching the practices and we all have to take it by word of mouth. Drake May was really close at the end of training camp, and he's only gotten better. So I think that might be, when we look Monday and say, what was your impression of the game? It's probably going to be, there was some chaos out there, but May looked a little bit better than I thought he was going to. I think that might be our biggest takeaway by the time we're done.
Speaking of things that look better than you expected them to, the offensive line, statistically and by some, advanced analytics, seems to be improving here in the last 2 weeks. Last week in particular, I think it was more noticeable. Is this offensive line good enough to support a rookie quarterback, Tommy?
No, I don't think so, especially against this team. I think it's a tough start, and I'm sure you guys have talked about that at length. But nothing ever stays the same. In my experience, if you're really bad at something and you're going to keep showing up at work and they're going to pay you and you have people who are overseeing you and everybody depends on you, you just can't keep performing at a below average level week in and week out. So I'm not surprised that it has stabilized, but I just don't think it's stabilized to the point where Drake May on Sunday is going to get 90s Cowboys protection, which I know you're not saying either, but I just think there's going to be occasions when he's going to find people in his face that he's going to have to say, well, I didn't plan on this guy being right here. What am I going to do now? And that, to me, is the biggest part of this, too. Drake May considers himself a playmaker, considers himself someone who can create. Mayo mentioned his ability to make off-schedule plays. He was the number 3 pick in the draft because of his abilities before the Patriots got him. So will they allow him to be Drake May, or does he feel as if, okay, what am I supposed to do here because I've learned all these things since April? Will they allow him to be Drake May?
Tom, you and I, Bragg, have been around this team for like 60 years combined probably.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately excited for 1 o'clock on Sunday, and that's a little weird for a 1-4 football team. Are you? Does this get your juices going a little bit?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean I like all the games, as Christian knows, because I think they're all going to be interesting.
Yes, we fought about that on Sunday, I think, right?
Yes, we did. I was personally offended to the marrow of my soul, my bones. But I think that, yeah, I'm excited about all of them, but I've never, ever, and you can ask my two neighbors from Neshamet Road in Lakeville, I couldn't believe how excited I was to see Brady start the first game in 2001. And I told the guys who I was neighbors with, who I'm still friends with, I said, he's not going to come out. He's going to be so friggin' good. I don't feel the same way about May. It just had seen more of Brady. But I'm definitely excited. Excited in a way that you would have been, having been around the team and Christian having watched the team, mm-hmm. predates us. But this is 1993. This whole year is 1993, minus the legendary coach on the sidelines and Bill Parcells.
All right, it's time for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Flex of the Game, Tommy, what are we going to see?
3rd and 5 or more. What I'm curious to see is how often the Patriots give Drake May opportunities to get in shotgun and go to work. So I want you guys all to flex up on 3rd and 5 or more and watch what Alex Van Pelt has in store for Drake May. If it is training wheels, then we're looking at a situation where he's very reticent to let Drake May go out and try and win the football game and is trying to not lose by a convincing amount. So, to me, a 1-4 team, 3rd and 5 or more, 3rd overall pick, nothing to lose. Don't be throwing tiny little checkdowns and seeing if Jamichael Hasty can make 7 yards to get back to the line of scrimmage behind the line.
Well, all right.
Check down for it.
There you go. Flex of the game. Unleashing the dragon for Drake May. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you on Sunday at 10, right around 10 o'clock.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
That is Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons.